Morning to you all. Good to see you. Praise God for a wonderful time of fellowship this morning of worship. And now for the time of singing. And now we're going to spend some time looking at God's scripture and hearing from Him what He has to say to our hearts. The topic that I'm going to speak on is probably not very often spoken, but it's all over the scriptures. It's a very common topic. And just hope that we'll be blessed by it. At least someone's heart will be touched and someone will gain something they can meditate upon. So before we start, let's just ask God's blessing and guidance. Glorious, loving Heavenly Father, give you thanks and praise for your matchless love, your love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, you gave your beloved Son shed his blood and to give his life to pay the penalty which we could not pay. Give you thanks, Lord. We give you thanks for this morning that you brought us into. Thank you for those who have seen this morning. Some we haven't seen for a while. Some of us are ailing. Some of us are enjoying things we need to give you praise for. So nevertheless, we give you thanks for bringing us together. We ask that you be present in our midst here. As we, our word, as our praise go up to you, Lord, just ask you to be in our hearts. Be near us. I would just ask that hearts would have been prepared for this message and that you'd indeed speak, Heavenly Father, and your words, you know, will not return to you void. We just ask that your name will be magnified through it all. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord. Amen. So the topic is wealth. Wealth. And wealth, sort of a vast topic. Wealth in a variety of things. Material wealth. You can have spiritual wealth, heavenly wealth, and now we're going to look at some things about how do we handle the wealth here on earth and what should we be focusing on with regards to wealth. The first verse I'd like to turn to, I have several verses, and Tom did not leave me much time, so we'll see how far we can get to. The first verse I'd like to look at is Deuteronomy 8:18, Old Testament verse which tells us about wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18. And it says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." Something you need to meditate upon. Highlight it in your Bible if you have not highlighted it yet. It goes on to say, "Give wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swear unto the fathers as it is this day." So, we see first of all, first and foremost, that wealth comes from God. I was thinking about it a little bit and I said, you know, some wealth, material wealth, can come from some other sources too. But real spiritual and heavenly wealth, especially, comes only from God. Material wealth also comes from God. Another verse we want to look at is 2 Corinthians 9:8. All right, I won't be doing too much expounding. I'll just be turning to these verses so you can mark them in your Bible and probably read them later on. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8 is what I said. "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that he always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." Now the key thing here is sufficiency. God's wealth isn't necessarily abundance, but it is sufficiency in all things. So you might not have millions here and a big house there and car there, but he takes you to your job and he feeds you and he provides for your kids and stuff like that. God is always sufficient in all things. So those are the key things you need to meditate upon. Always having all sufficiency in all things. That's what you need to key on in this verse. Now we're just going to keep going. We'll look at all again in another verse. Philippians 4:19, a well-known verse. I think I can quote it, but I'll turn to it. Philippians 4:19, most of you know it. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So the key thing to focus on here is all and your needs. So God isn't necessarily going to give you your wants. We want a lot of things. We want to be like the world. We need to keep up with the Joneses, right? But the Lord knows what you need, and he'll supply all of them. It's a promise. We move on. Ephesians 1:3. See, I mentioned before that wealth comes in different ways. We see a little more as we go along. But one of them is when we think of wealth, we normally think of material wealth, material possessions. But here we see Ephesians 1:3 is spiritual wealth. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing. That's our wealth. That's also our wealth. Heavenly, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, here we see spiritual and heavenly wealth. And other verses will teach us to lay up, store up our treasures in heaven, not on earth. Luke 18:29-30 is a very powerful verse. Turn to it. I'll turn to it too. When I read it, I was really amazed at it, because sometimes Luke 18:29. Let me see if that's what I'm looking for. Yeah, and I'm looking at 30 in particular. But this verse promises us blessing on this earth, and material blessing too, if you follow God, if you do his service. And sometimes we've got to be careful how we say this, because some people, you know, like to name it and claim it and that type of thing. Some evangelists you hear on the TV, on the radio. But God does promise to bless us if we commit ourselves to him, dedicate our lives to him, and serve him. So this is how the verse reads. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. So, the Lord, Jesus Christ, promises us bountiful wealth on earth. That's what it means in this present time, in this life, before we die. If we sacrifice our relationship with others and focus just on them, not that we shouldn't have relationship with our relatives and friends and have houses and land and all that, not that we shouldn't do that, but not above Jesus Christ. We need to sacrifice that for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his promise to bless us in return. Okay? And he goes on to say, not just the material blessing on earth, but some spiritual and heavenly blessing which you can look forward to in the world to come, life everlasting. So at this point, I'd just like to again mention that there are some blessings which are not necessarily materialistic that we can put our hands on, but they are intangible. They're special things which probably only we as Christians experience. Things like peace. Peace with God. The peace of God. They're different. And then you got to know what the difference is. Comfort. Being able to go to bed and sleep. You know, some people can't sleep for a variety of reasons. It's a blessing to be able to do that. To not worry about someone breaking into your home. Just go to bed and leave to the hand of the Lord. He'll bless us with these intangibles which we can't really put our hands on. Fellowship like this. This is a blessing. This is a wealth. This is something which we need to give God thanks for. Okay, let's move on to Matthew 6:33. See, another thing that speaks about wealth and how we as believers should seek wealth. You know, sometimes we seek it, but we seek it in the wrong way. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say. Another well-known verse, Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse 33. And let me read for context. Let's read from 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, whether wherewithal shall we be clothed? So these are the things we are concerned about. This is how we seek our wealth. Okay? We want to have the clothes on, the food, all type of thing. We want to be like the others and better than the others around us. For all these things do the Gentiles seek after. So the world is seeking after these things, and we are likewise seeking after them. Not only do we seek after them, they are necessary. We need them. But this is what the Lord says. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But this is what you need to do in order to get wealth, to get these things satisfied. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the key, I don't want to sound like a blasphemy, but the key to wealth, as this verse would put it, is to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek is the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. He might not bless you with some material things, but there are going to be some intangibles laid up in heaven and in earth. Like we talk about a peace and a comfort, immeasurable. You'll be blessed with it. He'll also give you material things, but don't focus on that. That's when we tend to get ourselves in trouble. We use God just to get the material things. No, it's not like that. That's not how the Lord works. So we need to know God and know the way he works and what he does. And we're going to move on to another verse. And this time it's going to be 2 Corinthians again, but this time is 8:9. We looked at 9:8 before. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. Another well-known verse. There's some thoughts in it, what it has to say about wealth. It says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for his sake, for your sake, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So we see a switching of positions. Jesus was rich, meaning he was in heaven. He was a son of God. He was in charge of everything. He created the universe. He was being glorified. And he exchanged his position with us. He died and suffered and gave his blood and died on the cross. And now we, as Christians, who accept him. That's the only way. The only way you can enjoy this richness, this wealth, is if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now we too are elevated to be joint heirs with Christ. All the things that Jesus possessed, we now possess also. We are one day will be his bride. That's something we need to meditate upon. One of the amazing things that God has revealed in the scripture, that one day we as Christians, the church, will be the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing. So we see the switch in position. Now that's wealth, amazing wealth, that we can't even imagine it. You know, we'll rule over nations with him. When he comes back in the millennium reign, we will judge angels, a number of things, amazing. The new positions we find ourselves in, just through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to move on. Just a few verses just remind us that we talk about this wealth and these various types of wealth. And the Bible points out that heavenly and spiritual wealth is better than the material wealth. It's good to have the material wealth, but don't get caught up with it. Okay? We're going to read some verses that address that. So we go back to Matthew 6. Matthew 6 verses 19. Verses 19 through 21. Matthew 6. Another well-known passage. Verses 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where neither thieves, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So it's a clear, these are the words of Jesus Christ. And it says, don't lay up treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. That's where our wealth, the majority of our wealth should be. We're going to move on to another verse which reminds us of things like these. It's a similar thought. Look at Luke 12, that don't covet worldly goods. Luke 12, let's see what's in Luke 12, 13. Let us read 13 through 21. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not of the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barn and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided, which thou hast stored up and hoarded up? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself, and is not rich towards God. So the message here is that the heavenly things, the spiritual things, are more important. This man was banking on his material wealth. And the Lord says, lo and behold, you're going to lose it tonight. And there was, as I was reading that verse, something came to mind. Something I never saw before in reading it. In verse 21, it ends by saying, and is not rich towards God. I never really thought about that, but it's interesting. I thought maybe it means that we need to spend our time and our effort in service to God in this world. Maybe someone can explain to me better, but we need to be rich towards God. Keep it in mind. Moving on, same idea that the heavenly and the spiritual is better in terms of wealth. Go back to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 26, I have here. Another profound verse, a very profound verse. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Very profound. Something we need to meditate upon. So don't chase after the material wealth here on this earth. Even if we should gain all the wealth this world has to offer, and then have nothing stored up in heaven for eternity, nothing spiritually, we have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, in other words. We would have been a failure, would have lost out. And there are some rules I drew up. I didn't read about them anywhere else. Just some conclusions I drew as I read the scripture. There are three rules. I think they're biblical. They're scriptures. First one is we're just stewards of God's wealth. Okay? We're just, and steward there means like a manager of God's wealth or someone who's entrusted to govern over something that another person owns. So we're just stewards of God's wealth. Whatever we have, our family, it's a big blessing, especially in my life. I've been blessed with a wonderful family. Give God thanks. We have home, job, whatever you name it. Whatever you think you have is just lent to you by the Lord Jesus Christ to use for his purpose. So that's rule number one. Rule number two, it is certain we can carry nothing out. We carried nothing into the world with us when we were born. And it's certain we can carry none of that material thing with us when we go. So don't get attached to material things. We can lay up treasures in heaven for the life hereafter. Okay, we'll be rewarded when we come face to face with God. As the church is rewarded. So that's rule number two. Rule number two, you can find it in 1 Timothy 6, 6 and 7. I won't bother to read it now. Rule number three, we cannot outgive God. I was a bit slow in using this because I've heard it used in some negative terms and negative connotations. But it's a truth. If you give to God and his service, give all you have to him, you not find yourself empty. You'll instead find yourself replenished, refilled continuously. As you give, the Lord fills. Okay, so and a few verses you can look at for that. Luke 6:38, which says, "Give and it shall be given unto you," that type of thing. Luke 6:38, I won't read it just for sake of time. Then Malachi 3, 6 through 10. It talks about, "See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing unto you." Okay, if you, it was specifically towards the Israelites and their tithes. They were not giving their tithes and their offerings, their sacrifices. They were not doing it. The Lord says, if you do that, see if I will not open heaven and pour out a blessing. The Luke verse tells us that he'll bless us immeasurably so that it'll be as if our container is shaken together, pressed down, and overflowing with the blessing that God will give us if we just give to him all we have. Okay, so it, I mean that talks about our tithes. Probably shouldn't use that word tithe there, which is 10% for the Jews, Israel. That was given unto them by Moses. But we are to give as we are blessed. We are to give as we see fit. Give from our blessing. Okay? We need to do that for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we looked at those verses. Rule number four is we ought to be content with what we have. And that's Philippians 4. 11 and 12. Okay, Paul says, "I know how to abase and to abound. I know to be, regardless of the state that I'm in, I'm content." Okay, so just reflect on these verses. We should be content. Not that we should be content with mediocrity or no good stuff, but we should be content with the position the Lord has put us in, the things he has given us. You know, many people over in some destitute countries, some less, we call them first world or third world countries, for example. Not as rich as, say, a first world country, United States. But they are enjoying a relationship with God, and they're happy because they are giving of their poverty, and they're content in the circumstance they find themselves in. They're not worrying about gaining more. They're giving God thanks for what he has blessed them with. That's how we ought to be. So that's the end of the rules. A couple more verses to look at before we close. just a verse, Ephesians 4:28 tells us what we are to do with wealth. There are several things we are to do with wealth. We talk about giving from our wealth, giving to the church, giving to the disabled, the sick, the poor, the weak, reaching out to the widows, all that type of thing. But this verse tells us a couple other things we need to do with our wealth. And it's Ephesians 4:28. So Ephesians 4:28 basically says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand, the things which is good, that he may have." And that's the wealth. When you have, that's wealth. "That he may have to give to him that needeth." So, our wealth, material especially in this case, our material wealth, we should give to the needy. And we have this wealth to take care of our families. It's another thing it tells us, that we are to work to take care of our families. It's in the scripture. And finally, we're going to end by looking at another well-known passage which deals a lot with money, the love of money and that type of thing. 1 Timothy 6:8. We just read through that. First Timothy 6. So in here, 1 Timothy 6, we will see a couple of things. We're looking out for, we are to be content. Again, the same thing comes up. We are to be content with what the Lord has blessed us with. It's a blessing. Even though you might not be millionaires, have the big house, the Lord is blessing you as a child of God, as the one who has accepted Him as Lord and Savior. He's providing for you all your needs. And we ought to be content and give Him thanks and praise for it. And don't get into a situation where we are depressed and worried and, you know, all the negative things that can come out of not having what the next person has. Focus on what the Lord is blessing you with. We ought to be content with it. That's the first thing it starts off with. Then it spends some time talking about those who want to be rich. And He warns those who want to be rich. And then there, later on, it talks about those who are already rich. And there's a danger in that also. And so God warns, or Paul in this case, warns those who are rich. And then they talk about, in there are a list of intangibles that I mentioned before. These are some blessings which we can't really add them up. We can't really touch them. It's not a fat bank account. It's not a big car or house. But there's some things which, if we didn't have, we would be a total wreck. I mentioned a few of them already. The peace of God, the comfort, the fellowship, stuff like that. It's a big blessing. And we're going to see some of those in this verse. Let me just read quickly without much comment. 1 Timothy 6, picking up at verse 8 and reading down to about verse 19. "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Okay, there is the content that we mentioned before. "But they that will be rich," there it is, those who want to be rich. It's a warning to them now. "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of God is the root of all evil." Well-known verse, or part of a verse. "Which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after," these are the intangibles now, "follow after righteousness." You can't really touch righteousness or add it up, but it's a great thing to have in your life and to be amongst those who are righteous. So these are the blessings and the wealth which we should make sure are in our lives. So follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickened all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only Pontiate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. And then it goes on to say, charge them that are rich. This is a warning to those who are already materially wealth. This is a message to them now. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. All this material thing is uncertain. You know? I could expound it, but time is gone. But in the living, they need to trust instead in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, the rich should do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, to share of their wealth. And we'll close there. I trust that someone found this message challenging, probably reason to take stock of where we are and how we consider wealth, what we're doing with wealth. Like I said, the Bible is replete with it. This is just a little touch of it. Just those that came to mind quickly. So I'd encourage you to spend some time in the scripture seeing what the Lord has to say about wealth and how we should handle it. So let's just close off in a word of prayer. Blessed God and Heavenly Father, again we give you all praise and thanks for your love for us. Thank you for your messages today. Trust that it did not just fall on hard hearts, but that hearts will have accepted it as truth from you and will respond to you in seeking to do your will. Heavenly Father, help us to remember that we ought to seek you first, your kingdom and your righteousness, and your promise, as all these other things will be added accordingly, sufficiently. Blessed Lord, thank you. Be our guide through this week. Grant us your safety. Walk with us. I look forward to coming back together on Tuesday for prayer and Bible study. For those who are ill, we ask that you be with them. Grant them your comfort. These intangibles, which are intangibles which many people can't experience, but we as Christians do experience it. So we give you thanks, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.